You're listening to the Product Podcast from Product School, featuring the best product leaders from Silicon Valley and beyond. If you're an aspiring product manager looking for your first PM role, or an experienced PM looking to level up your skills and advance your career, visit productschool.com to learn about our certifications and how we'll get you there. Today, we'll be hearing from a panel of true leaders in the world of product: Nikhil Thacker, Tanu Matreha, Efrat Blair, and Jackie Porter. Stay tuned to hear how to unleash the power of effective decision-making from these experienced leaders.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. Thank you all for joining for this panel discussion with Product School. Today's topic is going to be decision-making for product managers. We do have experts that we have. We have three experts that we are going to be talking to today. We have these experts who are extremely accomplished and extremely experienced in the product management space. We will be drawing on their experience to be able to learn. While we have this session, if there are any questions, please post them in the comments. We do have questions prepared earlier on, so we'll be starting with those questions. But if we have time, we'll get to your comments and questions as well. This is supposed to be an interactive session, an open discussion, drawing in on our experts' experience and insights. Let's start off with introductions. I request Jackie, if you can start introducing yourself, and then we'll head to specific questions that we have.
Sure. My name is Jackie Porter. I come from a program project management background and transitioned into product management a little over 5 years ago. Currently, I'm a director of product at GitLab, where I support a team of product managers who are super motivated to deliver on the One DevOps platform. I love to support women in leadership, to work with underrepresented groups in technology, and help drive diversity in all of our organizations. Pass it over to Efrat.
Hi, my name is Efrat Blyer, and I'm a data-driven product leader. These days, I'm a product group manager at Fiverr, where we help build a simple platform that better connects businesses with freelance talent. Before this, I worked as a CDO at MUse, a conversational voice shopping platform, which I also co-founded. I also love to volunteer as a PM mentor at the Give & Tech Foundation, where I help mentor junior product managers. Switching over to Tanu.
Hey, thank you, Efrat. I am Tanu Matreja. I am product manager by profession, by heart. So I started my career as a developer, but then pretty soon I realized I was all into the product management. So I work as a director of product management with Salesforce. In the past, I have worked with AWS, Azure, Sun Microsystem, and Netscape. As I said, I started as a developer in a startup and then moved to product management and love it.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. So you see, we have like years and years of very rich experience that we'd like to draw in on. Today's topic is about decision making by PM. As we reflect back on 2022, transitioning into 2023, into the new years, we saw that the year 22 started with a lot of optimism, a lot of money available in the market for startups. All corporations, you know, big corporations, Amazon, Microsoft, all of these big big four companies had a growth mindset and were, you know, they saw big growth over the past couple of years as well. But as we transitioned into different quarters within 22, within the year 22, we basically observed that the market took a 180 shift where the money for startups dried up. Companies were more cautious in decision-making. Companies, of course, laid off. There were layoffs in some companies, and this slowed down available capital for startups. So as product managers, we now face challenges in making decisions slightly differently. We have to maybe be less aggressive in making our decisions. Those are the things that we'd like to know from you as to how we should make decisions given the current economic conditions, you know, drawing on your experience. Let's start off with some questions to learn from each one of you. So let's start off with the three key insights, three key skills that has actually helped you shine in product area within your career space. Let's start with Jackie yourself.
Sounds good. So I would say I have different skills based off of the level in a product management organization that you're in. As a product leader, I find that transparency, collaboration, and humility are really great skills to bring to the table. A lot of those end up being more soft skills, especially during this time where there's lots of transition in the industry, lots of transition in people's lives. We just had this huge market shift toward the Great Resignation. So you can imagine a lot of people change jobs and now are getting laid off. So the climate's kind of a different temperature. As a product manager and an individual contributor, the three skills I think that are most critical are being data informed, being collaborative, and having high transparency. When you are connecting as a product manager with all the different counterparts, you're able to drive a very efficient engine around your business line, particularly when there are challenging times in the business. If you're using data, you're able to paint the picture of what things are most important to invest in. You're being collaborative, you're able to influence the go-to-market motions and find where is your best dollar going to be spent to influence the key metrics of your business. And then transparency, you're able to say, no, I'm not going to be doing this, or yes, I'm going to be doing this. You're being really clear on where your direction is. Everyone can get behind that and support it. When you're not transparent or there's fear, or there's a lack of transparency in what you're planning to do, people don't know how to support you. So as a PM, being transparent is the best way to get the investment and to get the support that you need from the rest of your organization.
Excellent. Actually, that's excellent. What facets of program management actually helped you be successful in the product space?
Oh, yeah. I would say being excited by being under pressure. I would say program management, there's a little bit of firefighting that comes inherent in that role, but also an insane amount of forward-looking and risk mitigation that I had to put in place as a product manager. So when I was working as a Scrum Master or program manager for these product teams and engineering teams that were trying to do high velocity, a lot of questions were like, well, when is this going to be shipped? And I was able to be like, oh, well, that's, you know, hand waving, kind of let people know that I don't really know when it's going to be shipped. And I feel like that's really prepared me well as a product leader, partnering with companies and other product organizations on like how to deliver things on time or not.
Excellent. Efrat, what are your thoughts about the key skills, hard or soft, that's helped you in your career?
Yeah, so I'm also a big believer in data-driven decision-making. As my educational background is computer science with specialization in machine learning, so a lot of time data really helps make the right decisions. So a skill of being able to ask the right data questions you should always continuously work on. But also, on the other hand, a learn from past experience where such questions or the way of asking them, how you should have asked them in hindsight. So basically, it's a combination of two skills, continuous learning to improve the processes you have so far, and the ability to ask the right data questions when you scope or ideate a feature. For example, at Fiverr, we have a methodology of A-B tests readouts, where we analyze a certain A-B test and learn what were the outcomes. And we really look into some surprising results and try to ask ourselves, could we have predicted it? How we should frame those questions in the beginning? So combining those skills is super important. And the third one is the ability to manage brainstorming or innovation. In the past 2 years, I've been exposed to the concept of design sprints, and those enable quick iterations for learning and crafting solutions to problems within just a few days. So implementing these design thinking processes in various formats, such as focus team meetings, full day offsites, work groups, can really help a lot with driving innovation and, you know, really gather ideas from all of your colleagues and not keeping that all to yourself. I think it's a really important skill.
Excellent. Thank you. Tanu, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, great question, first of all. I think for me, the first and foremost is the customer obsession. I think that's the one which has brought me here, and I still feel so passionate. Like, that's one of the key things which is like required for the product management. And especially in these timings, it's, I think, even more critical to stay close to your customers, know exactly where they're moving, what is changing in their direction, like what is changing in their environment, and how do you pivot so far. So I think first and foremost, I'll, like, in all senses, would be customer obsession. And the second thing I'll say is the bias for action, especially for these times. Like, in some ways, these situations help in the sense that they basically keep you focused on the most important things. All the other stuff which used to be important but not urgent is kind of already getting extracted and filtered out. But then again, like, being very aware of what is the impact and doing things which are really adding value somewhere for somebody, I think that's the other skill which has helped me so far. And I think the other big one, which is again related to the topic, like the decision making, bringing this think big picture, like bringing the vision, bringing the clarity, the decisions. I think those are the other things which have helped me come this far, and I see them again getting more and more important.
Tanu, I have a question for you. How do you think big in times where you're kind of strapped? Like right now, all of us are under pressure to have our purse strings right where it needs to be. I'm curious, how do you think big and also invest in the right things?
Exactly. I think it again comes back to, like, again, how closely are you connected to your customers? Like, as a PM, you always have a big picture. But in these times, like when there are resource constraints, there are other constraints, and obviously, as Nikhil was saying, like, companies are cutting and all that, I think you still have this basic conviction in yourself, like, where are you marching? The only, in some way it's a bad, in some way it's good, like, the only better picture today is, like, you're only focusing on the most important thing. So I think the big picture still remains the same. It's just that what you do to take that route is getting even more, like, trimmer and in some ways more refined, in my opinion.
Thank you. Thank you, Jackie. I think you brought up a good point where now with the economic conditions that we have, I think product managers are forced to think how we can add value now, where some of that big picture vision of, hey, I want to make trade-off decisions of what can I do for a year out might be lost. So I think that's some of the struggles that product managers might be facing. But I see a pattern here, actually. The pattern that I observed was data-driven decision-making, collaboration, in order to think big. And then, of course, adding value to your end customer. So customer thinking and then making data-driven decisions so that we can prioritize. That makes a lot of sense. Thank you. The other question that we all have is, what are the key learnings that we should continue to do in 2020 or start doing in 2023? Any resources, any must-read books, anything that we can upskill ourselves as product managers or learn something more or learn from other successes? Any insights that you can give? We'll start with Tanu, yourself first.
Sure. I think the first and foremost skill at this point is the resiliency. Like, believe in yourself, stay focused, continue doing what you're doing, but maybe even more rigorously, even more detailed. And again, like, in the similar sense, be even more closely connected to your customers. I think that's one of the big, big things we need to drive in this year. And not get, because there will be so many changes, there will be so many distractions. Some may be actually a good indicators, good signals, but not everything may be. So even more important to just be focused and make sure the team doesn't lose the focus, the team doesn't lose the morale and the productivity. I think that as PM, it's getting even more and more important in this year.
Perfect. Thank you. Ifrat, what are your thoughts here?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, like, 2023 is going to be a hard year for a lot of companies, a year of efficiency and some aggressive business goals to grow fast. So I think for us, we need to find ways to really move the needle business-wise. And I think the main skill here is agility and what I really call fail fast. So we all have like a lot of hypotheses around our domains. And the key is not only selecting the right one based on the data you have, but it also crafts a plan to quickly validate it or to basically maybe seeing how it can fail fast, and because most of the time it's probably will. So the main skill is to create a plan that shows you where it's going, so you can move on to the next one and the next one until you find the one that really starts working and increase on that. And the main challenge, of course, is that we all fall in love with our own ideas, and I also have this thing. So it's all about awareness and really putting that thought when you ideate, what's the main thing you can like make it fail or succeed, like you hope it will succeed, but the key pain point that you have in that feature or a hypothesis. So it's a really hard skill to master, and I'm still working on that myself, but I think it's the key for next year. It's very crucial.
Absolutely. Thank you. Jackie, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I wanted to ask Efrat to expand a little bit more on how you validate failing fast with product. What are the sensing mechanisms you use to know that you're failing in the right way?
Yeah, so like really strip down the hypothesis to the main one, the most, you know, accurate one. When you think about the customer problem, what you're really hypothesizing about, and the key thing that will be a break or make in this area. And then like taking specifically that and putting it out there very quickly to customers, and sort of like smoke tests, very quick and dirty solutions to see how you can validate or make it fail quickly. And if you do that and you see that, hey, it starts looking, there's traction, the people really, you know, you see the hypothesis become real, then, you know, it's in the right direction. And if it's not, then just, you know, move on, think about the next one. Don't invest like 3-4 months of work only to reach that point, because that's the best thing.
Yeah, I think growth experiments offer a really great way to do quick validation if you have a platform that supports that. But if you're working with an on-prem distribution or an Internet of Things kind of distribution, it might be a little bit tricky to run those experiments. So I've seen validating prototypes by using surveys, doing conference games where you take the, you know, the interaction with customers and you kind of expand your hypothesis, your job to be done, your user story, your core user flow. There's probably a million different names for what that hypothesis is. But I think that it's hard if you come from a place where you're not doing growth experiments or you don't have a SaaS product where you can run growth experiments, but you still want to validate those hypotheses. Prototyping is a really great method to do that. And there's lots of tools out there that can be unmediated or mediated and allows your people to experiment with that.
Yeah,
I think the key learning that I feel like people should have in 2023 is to double down on their core competency, whether that means your skill or your product offering. I feel like what's worked for you and will continue to work for you, if you focus on your install base, you can look at your long-term contracts, your ACV, your uplift, and that's going to start paying dividends. Sometimes the calculated bets aren't necessarily wrong. Right, like you're going to be able to take a risk, and those risks might have a really huge payoff. But keeping in mind that you have a huge install base that needs investment is also an approach to think about. And then, as a skill set from a product manager, are you really strong at being an external PM, connecting with customers, building your network, or are you more of a technical PM, writing documentation, doing APIs, partnering with people? I think that that's an opportunity to pivot and really think about how you can add value as an individual while also maximizing the return from the company.
Got it. Thank you so much. So what I'm hearing is I think product managers should be able to go deeper and enhance the skills that they already have, double down on their own skill set, believe in yourself is what we heard, and then invest more in your own skills. Also, some of the resources that Jackie mentioned was surveys and some prototypes that we can build and so on. I think If there are any other resources that are available that that you know product managers could read up on, you know, maybe there's a good book out there, or there is some learnings from, you know, failures from other companies, which is, you know, a positive learning that other companies can take as well. Are there any resources out there that you would recommend? Maybe one or two resources, books, you know, forums, anything that you would recommend our audience to take back?
I will recommend a couple. I think one is like if you just look around the long-term thinking in Amazon, which we usually do, that's a great approach. Like any examples you can find around that, because in these situations, Amazon has been through some of these things where it was very like narrow margins and here like market conditions were not so promising, but still they made their way through. So any examples around that, and there are tons of those on YouTube. Those are great. And I'll also recommend a book for, it's from Brené Brown, Daring Greatly. It's basically, it's not a technical book. It's a very personal, but it's a very insightful book as a leader. It makes you handle these situations with a lot of like conviction and resiliency.
Got it. Thank you.
Kind of in the same vein of a book that I would really recommend as a product manager, you're often in a place where you're having to manage through influence. And in these super hard times, sometimes people need a lot of grace. And I read this book called Leading with Gratitude, and it's 8 leadership practices for extraordinary business results. And it really helped me think about using data and building relationships and putting people first, which is so important whenever there's you know, lots of vulnerability around. So that's definitely something to keep in mind.
Nice. I think I'm reading some of the comments here, and some of the comments are, yes, Daring Greatly is good. The TED Talk on vulnerability, yes. So these are some of the softer skills that product managers can brush up on. Of course, thank you for recommending the books. This is great. Finally, moving on to, you know, as a product manager myself, one of the hardest things that I have to do is I have to prioritize. And these prioritization is based on what my business is asking, what I think I should do for my own product, what my own vision is. And sometimes they might conflict, sometimes they might not. What I have learned as the best practice is put them all on a sheet of paper and then evaluate them on certain metrics. So KPIs. What KPIs do you think we should look at today in order to evaluate priorities? Might be conflicting. What are your thoughts on that? Let's start with Efrat. Let's start with you. What your thoughts are here.
So KPIs for validating your priorities within the company, right? This is it. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So when you look at that, so a lot of that is around what you actually aim to solve for the customer. And you draw back from that and look into that effect and the impact you can make on the customer problem and create a metric, a North Star, and see how it affects this North Star. And also looking at the business KPIs of the company and where it wants to be in the next year and see that it aligns, and the priority you select will actually help you get there and not only, scratch the surface where you just look at the year and you say, I worked so hard, but where is all the effect? So I would look into that when I prioritize, as well as effort and everything else, just to see that everything makes sense. Because as we know, resources are getting low, so we need to prioritize based on that too.
Got it.
In a past life, I would, when I was prioritizing individual features and like user stories and having to talk with engineers about level of effort, because that's not my role right now, I was just reminiscing on how much I miss that in the day to day. But I had this power scoring that allowed me to look at each feature set, and it was quick and dirty on like, what's the expected ROI? What's the payback period of this investment? what's the margin, if it has like an operating overhead cost or a services implementation fee or an infrastructure cost associated with it. What's the growth out of core or in core, meaning is this going to expand our current product offering or is it an adjacency? And then is there any M&A related to it? So like, is this an opportunity to get a merger acquisition support? And with those different prioritization mechanisms, I was able to create a blended score and then stack rank all these investments. And the highest ones would be the best ones to kind of rally the team around and think about. At GitLab, we use a prioritization matrix using RICE scoring as a method to show impact versus reach versus, you know, your investment time. I think that's also another method that you can use to, again, stack rank the influence that you believe these investments will have on your portfolio. It gets a little bit harder if you're starting to rank across different sections and teams and you don't have like an aggregated ROI metric on that. But that's another good tool to help you kind of stack rank. I think it's also important that you're not over-indexing on data. In the analytical sense, it's important that sometimes you actually listen to your customers, what they're saying, or the field, and listen to those stories, because those narratives might be telling you something that isn't going to show up in the data now. So like churn risk isn't going to show up in the data until churn happens. And you want to cut it off before churn happens. So that's also something to think about. How do you think about the customer narrative and story prior to showing in the data?
Perfect. Thank you. Tanu, what are your thoughts here?
I'll just do plus one to what Jackie and Fred were saying. To add to that, I'll also say like this year, I was actually just having this conversation yesterday. So this year, what I found was the prioritization became a little bit simpler because the economic conditions have made it like so clear at the higher level what companies are looking for. And I'm talking about the large organizations like Salesforce. Mm-hmm. So the clarity from the top is it's a lot more. Obviously, we as PM, we want like everything. We want the innovation, we want the ACV, we want the adoption and growth and everything. But then this year, it was very clear like where we are heading. And then that made our prioritization a little bit simpler. But so I think the business KPIs become much more clearer where we are leading, what are the priorities. We had to make some cuts, and it was much easier decisions to make those cuts this year. And at the same time, I realized personally that I need to add a KPI for myself. What's the impact KPI for myself? Like, what impact am I making? Am I making myself ready for my next product, for my next role? What is that for me? So I don't really get too carried away knowing the situation where things are moving. So I think that was a new learning for me for this year. But on top of that, in some ways, I think there's a lot more thinking going in PM's mind. There's a lot more forward thinking, forward-looking projections, which I think all is goodness if we want to see the bright side of what's going on.
Got it. Thank you. So what I heard was, given the current economic conditions, things have become a lot easier because we are now prioritizing towards saving money or increasing customer base. I think, Jackie, you pointed out a couple of good resources to use. I know you said you had your own, you know, power scores, but the RICE score, I've used that myself. I think that's a very effective tool for product managers to use. Of course, Tanius, you mentioned that you should not only look at your product, but also look at your own goals. You should set goals for yourself. I think that is super important. That is something that I hadn't thought of. So thank you for that. I know we only have a couple of minutes left. Any parting thoughts and or insights that you would like, any advice that you'd like to give to our audience here? Start with you, Jackie.
Oh, forced advice. Let me see. What's the best thing to tell people? Yeah. Enjoy your year. Go at it with grace and think big. Taking from to new. I like that mantra there. Think big.
Thank you, Jackie. Tanu, what about you? Any
advice? I think for me, the only parting note will be this topic for today has become even more crucial. Like, make decisions. And believe in yourself, believe in your decisions, don't look back. Make sure if you're not taking, like, if you're not opening one-way doors, as long as you can correct, believe in yourself and move ahead. So,
perfect. Thank you. Efrat?
Yeah, I want to add that our CEO told me, like, you want to be really proud on what you achieve next year, by the end of next year. So, like, think about that when you make the decisions. Will it make you proud once you reach that goal? And how do you really envision yourself in the end of the year? And then think backward. So also a way to look at the, these kinds of decisions.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, all of you, for the excellent conversation and your insights. I would like to thank Product School for giving all of us the opportunity to learn from industry experts and leaders here. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to Product School. Any questions, I'm sure Product School will be able to connect you to the experts that were here today. Thank you all. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Product Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, it would mean the world to us if you would rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Taking the time to write just a few sentences about what you love most about the show will help us improve it and reach even more product people around the world. And when you're done, why not reward yourself with some free product management content and resources over at productschool.com? Until next time, stay product-led.